Hey everybody, and welcome to your 2013 Manga of the Year podcast. This is the second annual one we've been doing since last year. I forgot exactly if it's the same dates or not, but it should be. It should be basically the same thing. So, if you don't know what this is, in lieu of recording Jumpcast until the end of the year, we record one big podcast to figure out what the best manga of the year is.
We record 15 hours of deliberation and cut it down into a couple episodes.
And with
and
the
then
magic of
give
CG.
Ourselves a well-earned vacation.
Yes.
Yeah, Greg's not actually here. He's all CG. It's amazing.
It's like that thing they did with George Burns when he died. Just stick him into an unrelated movie.
Didn't the baby kill him? Or wait.
You know, pick the corpse up, put some animatronics inside of it, yep. Prop it up, make it wave every once in a while.
Oh, the Walter Cronkite Initiative. Okay. This is off to a great start.
Yeah, and yep. Also, isn't there a... now it's going to bother me, whether there's a different term for the second annual as opposed to second annual. Like, the first one is the inaugural, but I don't know.
No one cares about the second one.
Yeah.
First
it's not important.
Right. Yeah, the first one's important, the second one's like, meh.
So if you keep up with the Jumpcast, and you might be wondering why we're not including, say, Sabo in One Piece as a huge reveal or something, it's because we go by Jump's year.
Which ends at the beginning of December-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easier to go back after an entire year and go, okay, and then this is where it starts. So we start at issue 1 and go through issue 52.
It's also easier because we're recording this before it's actually released. So there might be something that comes out between now and the end of the year that you're wondering why that's not the big reveal. Or why that's not a winning chapter, and because it didn't count. It'll count next year.
If we remember it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's totally possible. That's yeah. What last year our chapter of the year was the first one that Beelzebub could be, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the fight with Jabberwocky.
Yep.
So this is not also going to be as alive as most podcasts, because we have all this manga in front of us. And so we're actually searching through chapters to look for what actually counts and should win.
We have kind of our ranges, but don't quite remember where stuff is.
We don't have the budget for a team of interns to catalog stuff for us.
The easiest one will be World Trigger-related ones, because that's the entirety of the manga so far.
And Assassination Classroom is almost the entire series.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be... actually, since we're talking about this right now, for those who want to follow along at home... the ranges that we'll be looking at are Assassination Classroom is chapter 20 through 68, which is the most recent translation, hypothetically.
As of the time of this recording.
Yeah. Hypothetically, I think we should be including one more chapter, judging from when the Raws came out, but it's not available, so oh well.
Yeah.
Yeah. One Piece will be chapters 689 through 729. Naruto is 611 through 655. Bleach is chapter 517 through 558. Beelzebub is chapter 182 through 229. Nisekoi is chapter 52 through 100. And World Trigger is, as mentioned, the entire series, but we're stopping at chapter 40.
Yeah, so just about everything has about 40 chapters to go through.
Right. So before we go into actual awards and categories, which people who listen to the podcast suggested, so...
Viewers or listeners like you.
I didn't write down who suggested what, but there's a decent chance if you're listening to this that you probably did suggest something. So before we get into all of that stuff, why don't we just talk about general, do you think manga this year has been better than manga last year?
I think we have a lot of good stuff this year.
But is it better than last year? Comparing this year directly to the previous stuff.
I don't know.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, just looking at One Piece, like, last year it was coming out of the Fishman Island arc and was just kind of meandering through Punk Hazard, but then look at all the stuff that happened in the year since then. Like,
right.
we got the back half of Punk Hazard and all of Dressrosa so far.
I think that, like, on the average, everything has definitely been more solid this year, but I think that from our perspective, that largely stems from the fact that last year there was a whole bunch of we're going to start following this series that immediately tripped and fell on its face. There is no barrage for this year. There is no
Takamaru
was good, but you know.
We tried, but I couldn't follow Koryuzuru Edison without wanting to kill myself.
Barrage hurt us, so I think we were reluctant to do new series after that. But I like Naruto, for example, I'm not sure if this year is better than last year, but thinking about it in retrospect, I think it's exactly the same in a lot of ways.
It's about on the even, but there's less, like, stupid stuff to make fun of. There is no Big Nose Kabuto this year.
Yeah.
I think I liked Nisekoi more last year.
I agree. Nisekoi is probably the one series that I would say is a little lower quality this year.
It just started spinning its wheels somewhere around the middle of the year and
didn't really stop. Once they realized they were getting an anime, then it was like, okay, now we just gotta make stories.
I just picture a guy pulling like a giant lever and the conveyor belt just slowing down to a crawl.
Yeah, that pretty much Nisekoi.
Now, Assassination Classroom over the last year has been amazing.
Yeah, that's improved incredibly since then.
Honestly, I would say it's kind of maintained less than improved, although I will say going back and jumping back and looking at, you know, chapter 20 earlier, the artwork's improved a whole lot.
I will say actually improved. I say story-wise, that thing, like, he's learned how to do a lot better paneling, how to make his characters more likable.
I am trying to increase the tension because you're talking about the series that we gave manga of the year to last year, and you're saying it improved. So I mean, come on.
We haven't made those decisions yet. We'll deliberate and talk those out. We haven't talked about what's going to win. We've just looked at the categories.
Yeah, we joke about lack of preparation last year. We're less prepared this year.
Yeah, let's just show up and record this, and whatever happens, happens.
I just got done playing video games, and Ron had to come to me and say, like, hey, you forgot about the podcast. So that's how
I was watching you playing video games. And I was like, you couldn't read what I was saying, so I kept, like, typing all these things. Like, yeah, it's about time to record. Huh, going for another run, huh? We better... Hopefully this one's the last one.
I'm just imagining a jump cast live, you know.
I've thought about it.
Okay. We don't do much editing. We could do a live jump cast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so what about Bleach? How did that improve in the last year? Did we talk about that?
Did it?
I
have to refresh on what the year before Bleach was like.
It was Lloyd Roy.
I'm going to say it did not... It improved, but not substantially, and it's going to suffer from the fact that, like, the cutoff happens right before the last decent couple chapters that we got at the end of the year.
See, I have a tendency to, in my head, just segment Bleach or every manga the same way, like, it segments itself. Like, I think, like, a year is an arc. So I'm like, oh, it couldn't have been the same arc last year. But, yeah, it was. Only time we've been talking about Bleach has been within the Quincy arc.
Yeah, like, since we started this podcast, even.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, last year there was a couple chapters of the arc before that.
Like, I think the week or two before we started the podcast, it was the announcement, oh, this is the final arc of Bleach.
Yeah.
It's like, huh, okay, I guess we won't be doing this one for long.
Didn't we start while it was on its break leading into the final arc or something like that?
Yeah, this final arc has been going for the entire run of the jump cast, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know what I think is going to be most improved over last year?
What?
World Trigger.
Yeah, I know. It we didn't even talk about it last year, and then look at this year. Man, talk about an improvement. We rarely see things jump like that much awareness of it in just a year's time.
And there's a couple of things that we should be covering that we're not. Like, there was a brief discussion about Shokugeki no Soma, and it was decided that since we don't really cover that one...
I don't feel like I've read some of it, but...
I'm the only one of the three of us who reads it consistently. I do think that Robin, the person who sometimes subs in for us, also follows that. But when it's only one person who's regularly following, it's kind of hard to talk about.
I mean, I'd be fine giving it awards if you can make a good enough point, but it's going to be pretty tough for you when we don't read it.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe one of the things that we're going to have in next year, depending on what dies and what we decide we've had enough of.
No, obviously, we're just going to decide we need to continue adding more to these things and we blow up to a 2-hour podcast, right?
Yes.
Like, if Bleach and Naruto... That would be great if they just ended the same week. Just every jump editor just running around like their hair's on fire.
God, that would be terrifying for the company. Although, I guess Bleach hasn't been that strong.
Yeah, Bleach hasn't been
lately.
A moneymaker for a while.
Yeah. Well, no, its volumes still sell.
Well, anything I feel that gets his anime canceled before...
Yeah,
the manga ends is probably, like, there had to have been pretty egregious reasons for that.
Like Beelzebub?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Beelzebub was more a target demographic problem than anything.
Yeah.
And Bleach's was literally just that the manga moved so slowly that it was stuck in a morass of there were literal years of filler doing nothing. And they can't have anything of consequence happen in it, and it's not like there was a time skip or something like that. So it was kind of, they were literally in the middle of arcs, in the middle of, not fights, but like they'd find a breaking point and then go, and here's kind of an alternate universe sort of thing, and jump off and do this other stuff of completely no consequence.
So it's regular Bleach.
I just remember watching it on Toonami, and like he'd be in the middle of a fight with Okoria, and then the next episode it's like, oh, we're in an Arabian setting. What a weird dream. Oh, we're going on this side story adventure. And then it's like, hey, wasn't I fighting somebody? Ah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it must have been frustrating to make that show.
Yeah, almost felt like passive aggressive at a point of just like, hey, wasn't I doing something right now? Yeah, shut up. Let's just do this.
And then, I mean, occasionally they would come up with good ideas for the filler thing, like the entire thing where there was the one Zanbakuto that was released that was able to like call out the spirits of other people's swords and then they rise up against them. It's a great idea.
That was better than a lot of the manga arcs.
Yeah, I mean, now it dragged it on for way too long, but it was a really good idea. I stopped watching.
When Naruto had that like time skip, I think it was like 3 months in the manga time. Like, that was a hiatus, and they had no idea what to do with the anime, so they just made, like, some really bad filler. Like,
oh, well, the filler there, the filler literally went for 2 years.
Yeah. And we like, got stuff
I,
like...
I have no idea how that didn't kill the series, and what's crazy is that, at least in the beginning of it, rankings actually went up for the show.
they liked that episode where Naruto peed on Ino.
That's the one you like to come back to, isn't it?
It sums up the whole 2 years of filler for me.
It just kind of exemplifies that entire thing.
It encapsulates it. But yeah, manga was good this year.
Yeah.
Let's get back to that.
I think, yeah, overall it was pretty good. And this is the first year that I've really been considering actually like watching anime again.
You should watch Kill la Kill.
Kill la Kill is one of them. Attack on Titan, I have all of that, but I just haven't watched it. I need to finish Fullmetal Alchemist someday. Someday.
I still get like, what do you mean someday? Do that this winter break. That is your homework for when we're not doing the Jumpcast, because...
No, Fullmetal Alchemist is for Imran. It's like when those people buy those big books just to have them on their shelf and like not read them. So
I don't even know what it was that like got me out of it. Just for, like, I watched one episode and I was like, I'm not paying attention to this. I'll just watch it again later, and then 4 years passed.
So is it Brotherhood you haven't watched, or it's the original series you haven't watched?
Brotherhood's the most recent one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
The one based on the manga. Yeah, that's the one I haven't watched.
Okay.
I got to the part where they meet Armstrong's sister, and then Sloth, I think it was, comes in.
That's like where it starts getting fantastic.
I'll give you some links after this podcast, like the specific episodes on Netflix, so you can...
To whet my appetite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I actually recently, I haven't watched it yet, but I just picked up, they put out a series of 4 short OVAs for that series, and I, you know, actually went out and bought the extra disc thing for that.
I will say this, if Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood were the first series, like if I had not seen the non-manga series before that, then I probably would have finished this easily. It would have been equally compelling, but it's just that similar enough to the point where it kind of bored me.
Well, no, but that's only in the part up to where you got to, basically, because they realized that would be a problem. So the early portion of Brotherhood is kind of almost at an accelerated pace, and they lose a lot of the detail and that sort of stuff because it was already covered in the first series. And then once they get to the point where stuff deviates, which is around where they fight Greed and that sort of stuff, and then, you know, especially once they go to the north is where it's completely off in its own path. That's where they slow down and take the time with it, and it gets really, really good.
Well, the great irony is now I have to go back and actually watch it again.
Because you don't remember what's going on?
Yeah.
So
remember where I stopped? I don't remember what led up to there.
So are we prepared to give anime that Imran should watch in 2014 award to Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood?
I mean, it's either that, Kill la Kill, or Attack on Titan.
I don't know. I might push... Well, no. I would put... FMA is probably a bigger deal to not have watched than Attack on Titan.
Both
that
of
being
those
said,
are still
both
going.
Of you guys need to watch Attack on Titan.
It's there. I'll get to it.
Yeah. It looks really good, but... Kill la Kill too. It just
Kill la Kill.
Kill la Kill.
Deal at the moment.
I don't know. I just
It's getting real at the moment. You have to catch up, Dragon.
Something about that series just
it's like going back to weed after mainlining drugs. It's like once you have manga, you don't need to watching anime seems so slow.
I will agree with that. That was something that like I for a while I followed both, and I kind of have this like someday when I have, you know, months of time of nothing to do but time, I will actually catch back up in the One Piece anime or something like that. And
it's like
I'm
when
just
I
like, no, I'm not.
I always say how it took like a week to, you know, catch up to One Piece, and that was when it was in Thriller Bark. And if I were to go do that through the anime, it would take forever.
Yeah.
Literally forever. Like, I would have to quit my job to become a professional One Piece watcher.
Oh, yes. If we want to, since we're talking about One Piece anime right now, apparently for the first time in forever, because of all the breaks Oda's been taking and whatnot, One Piece is about to go into a filler arc.
Neat.
In between Punk Hazard and Dressrosa.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. Have Adventures with Law.
Yeah, you know, just toss out something along the lines of, oh, you know, it's not 3 days that they have to go there or whatever. It's, you know, some longer period of time.
Or the island where time stops. Done.
Named Filler Island.
Good enough for me. SOP Island.
Filler Bark.
All right, what do we say we get in some awards?
So I was just going to say, so between anime and manga, manga wins for entertainment format of the year, 2013.
Best mainline.
I think that is a unanimous vote for that.
Okay, so
it's like that joke in Shin Megami Tensei 4, like, how is this not the highest form of literature? There's regular stories and pictures.
Yes. There's like a speech about how manga is the superior form of story communication.
Yep. By the neutral path character. So obviously, manga is the best choice. All right.
So what's
Jumpcast approved.
We're going to go with this in the order that we have
on our list.
I've shared with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. The order that you put into Pastebin. So this is all Imran's fault.
Yep.
The list that I saw about 10 minutes before we started recording.
Yep. So we'll start with the best one-shot defeat. And the person who gave this to us gave us nominations. Which we don't have to stick to, but they're great jumping off points.
Yeah, they're good ones.
So for One Piece, they suggested Doflamingo versus Sanji. Bleach is Bambietta versus Shinji. Beelzebub's Oga Zebub blasting a random group of laggies.
Is that the Himikawa boys?
I think so.
Any of them. I'm sure it's happened multiple times in the course of this year.
We could have any burying bunch or whatever there too.
Oga versus Blank. For the Beelzebub.
Yeah, pretty much. You think that like any fight in the past year except for Furuichi, and except for what's his face? Takamiya. Yeah, that was pretty much all one shots.
And Assassination Classroom, Karasuma versus the poison guy.
I don't like Nisekoi being left out of this.
I was thinking, yeah, Nisekoi, there had to have been a couple of good one shots that here and there.
Maybe what about that time that
anytime Raku gets beaten up?
Yeah.
Or Chitoge's mom punching her father.
That's also good.
Yeah,
Nisekoi is going to be difficult to pull things out because just looking at the starting and ending chapters, everything between it is a blur. Like everything just kind of molded together into, you know, the Nisekoi happened.
Well, that was the time where Nisekoi started spinning its wheels.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm trying to think of other, because I know that there has to be other Bleach one-shot fights.
I mean,
that were good.
Well, Rangiku got pretty much destroyed immediately, and then disappeared.
What about Hitsugaya versus Kangdu? The hollow-fied Hitsugaya just one-shotting him.
Yeah, didn't really kill him.
Well, it's still a defeat.
True.
Like it's not one-shot death; it's one-shot defeat.
Well, if we're going that route. Or actually, it would work for one-shot death. Then we could do the Kenpachi fight, where every time Kenpachi got killed.
That one's for most one-shot defeats.
What about when Ichigo's mom took in the hollow? And the Whitey Whackers thing?
Uh, waiting to pull that back out, weren't you?
I mean, it just occurred to me right now, but it was technically a one-shot.
Just took it into her or whatever it was that happened there.
Yeah. And then Ichigo's dad had to go inside her.
And here's where we insert some, you know, off-color music in the background.
And that's how Ichigo is born.
There's also Nagisa
versus
Takaoka.
Takaoka, yes. Yeah. That was pretty good. The just knife right to his throat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what were there other one-shot ones in Assassination Classroom?
I mean, pretty much everything there ends in either a one-shot or a miss.
Well, but I mean, when you're saying ends in, then you're kind of dragging stuff out. I feel like it should be that the whole fight was just kind of one quick conflict. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I liked Karma's just because of the...
Against the hand guy?
Yeah, the quick defeat there, and then Wasabi in his eyes is pretty funny.
Yeah. That student classroom has a lot of good ones.
I'm trying to think if there was any Naruto death blow things, but I can't think of any.
It's only been like one fight since
they've
then.
Been fighting Obito. Yeah. That's pretty much been it.
Yeah.
Though Obito's fight against Sai, where he's I'm Team 7-2.
What if... Yes, or what about when Sai does the thing where he tries to seal Madara and just get whacked away? Does that count? Is that within our...
Maybe. That's not as funny to me.
Other than that, it's mostly, yeah, just...
Obito versus Neji.
What about the third getting just, like, irrelevancied for, like, 20 chapters by Obito? One shot.
Actually, I'm going to put my vote for best one-shot to the scythe peg leg to the head from World Trigger.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Where her leg was broken, or broken off.
Yeah, like, already taken off, and she attached her trigger to her leg and climbed up a building using it, and then kicked a guy's head in half.
That was pretty brutal. But I'm leaning towards the Nagisa versus Takaoka.
I'm also trying to think if there was anything at the end of Punk Hazard.
Luffy had, like, one big hit, but he'd been fighting Crown for a while.
I guess there's the
Frankie versus Baby Five and Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
That was okay.
He just sees them and just immediately hits them with a laser.
Yeah. It's not that funny, but
yeah. It was funny like for the immediacy of it, but
yeah.
Yeah, but the other fights that have happened over the course of the year, other than I guess some of the tournament stuff, like you could say because that's not a one shot when Luffy hits the top of Conehead's head.
Yeah, that was a pretty
elaborate fight.
They've
been fighting for a while, but any
of the one shots in the tournament were not very interesting, and they were with characters we didn't really care about. So
yeah,
yeah,
and
sure if there's
Law
there.
Versus Doflamingo is not exactly a one shot battle. So
no,
Sanji versus Doflamingo was.
Yeah, yeah, and it was also right at a big oh shit moment.
What about Kamimura versus Bambietta?
That was pretty cool.
It was like he just basically just summoned his thing and then immediately took her out.
Turned all her explosion, turned her body into explosions and killed her, more or less.
I feel like worst one shot, not this is the category, I'm just going to throw that out there, was Bleach with Soy Fong and her robot enemy.
Yes.
Where there was just a series of missing panels where she somehow got her weapon back and just hit him.
Yeah, just scene missing between pages.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I'd be cool with Nagisa versus Takaoka.
I feel like that was the one with the best build-up, certainly.
Also very surprising.
Yeah. It was Nagisa just doing the things we thought Nagisa should be able to do, but it was still amazing to see.
Honorable mention to Doflamingo versus Sanji.
Yeah, that one's a really good
one. And Oga versus anyone, I'm sure there's something in there that we're forgetting.
Yeah.
There's plenty of burying punches he's done.
Oh yeah, and not only that, but like, you know, the, oh hey, it's time for us to get out, so let's just destroy the entire arena when they're coming out of the basement.
You know what the best Beelzebub one-shot one probably was going to the factory where White Himikawa was.
Yeah.
And just like totally leveling that place just right away. Like after all this build-up of this guy and having a demon and stuff.
Or heck, even when they fight the Taurus and the two
the two
people at his house, like when his sister
Mitch
one shots. Yeah,
whatever that was.
Cancer and Libra. That was it.
Yeah.
And it was. I wanted to say Tojo and Furuichi, but I feel like that lasted more than one shot.
Yeah, there's Furuichi was jumping around.
Yeah, he puts Furuichi into the ceiling first, and then Furuichi puts him into the ceiling.
Yeah, that's two shots. Can't count it.
Yeah, ineligible.
Okay, right. So Nagisa takes this.
Yeah, let me type that up so I don't forget it.
Yeah, keep track of these, because that'll make it a problem. If we...
Yes, and here's where I, like, fidget in my seat trying not to say anything about the accidental spoiling I did myself.
Oh, I've looked at that too, don't worry about
it. Oh, you did?
I peeked at one. I'm still not entirely sure what's going on, but I have a pretty good...
Save it for next week.
Yeah, yeah, I saw the one page, because... Yeah. Well, we're talking, like, five chapters out now, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're falling behind pretty good. Anyway...
Keep ahead of the jump cast.
Yes.
We will.
All right. So, most heart-wrenching moment chapter. This is going to be a change of tone. But...
Doflamingo versus Sanji.
One Piece actually has some legitimate claim to some of this.
Yeah. I really liked the... what's his name? Don Chinjiao stuff, actually.
I was going to say, feeling heartbroken that he can't get his money because it's inside of a wall of ice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still...
I was going to say when the little girl was about to die. Remember she ate all the candy?
Oh, yeah, Mocha.
Yeah.
Is that within this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the very end of Punk Hazard.
Because One Piece picks up at the Brownbeard betrayal.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Like, so and that was going on, like, while they were fighting Harpy Monet and Caesar and all that. Okay, how about this? How about the Chitoge's mom stuff?
That was pretty heart-wrenching.
Yeah, like, at the end when you find out that she always buys her gifts and just can't... Doesn't feel like she has any connection to her daughter anymore.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't have the right to raise her daughter, considering how long she's been gone.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure if that was within our range because it's a Christmas thing, but then I remember Nisei Koi is always about 10 months late on holidays.
Yeah,
so.
it's
making those
everything.
Like July Valentine's Day jokes,
which turned out to be true. Yeah, I think the end of the Chitoge's mom arc was pretty heart-wrenching.
How about, like, don't we have the entire Obito flashback to Rin and all that sort of stuff?
The silent one was pretty good.
Yeah. The What was it? I am Uchiha Obito.
Mm-hmm. What about... Does anyone care if Neji died? Like...
didn't that happen last year? Because I know he was... Or no, that was after Ten Tails, so yeah.
He killed Obito after Madara showed up.
Yeah, that was after
or
Sage Obito,
Neji
right?
Nobody gives a shit.
No, it wasn't after Sage Obito.
I mean, I give a shit about Neji, but it wasn't exactly heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually... Looking, the first chapter that we're talking about is when everybody else arrives to the Obito fight. So
yeah, so it's pretty shortly after that. But...
Yeah.
Were the Hokages weren't revealed to be quote unquote dead by then, were they?
No.
Because that was pretty shocking.
It was shocking.
It didn't matter, but
we're looking at heart wrenching.
What about Shu and the teacher?
Yeah, that one was pretty sweet.
It was bittersweet. I don't know if I'd call it heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Like, the only basically heart-wrenching thing I can think of is Shitoke and her mom.
Yeah, I think that's the most.
It, well, I mean, Nisekoi tries to keep to that bubblegum sort of thing, you know? Where
that
it's not
kind of,
too serious.
Even the resolution from that happened pretty quick. Like, they didn't dwell on the sad part of it too often, too long.
Like, if we had actually gotten confirmation that, you know, Mari has inoperable cancer and will be dying or something like that, that would fall into this category. But...
Let's see.
Do we have any Assassination Classroom heart-wrenching moments? That's pretty light.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that was, like, necessarily... There's a couple of stuff where, like, you know, that's kind of sad.
Well,
yeah,
like the chairman and his son.
Yeah.
But nothing that I would say... really fits this.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could go with the entire revelation of Yuma and how he got his Black Trigger and the fact that he's still dying from World Trigger.
Yeah.
And his stuff, you know, his dad stuff.
Yeah.
Byakuya dying in Bleach.
No,
that happened last year. Yeah.
Did it?
We had a...
Which one?
This was the year that he just got drowned and forgotten about. What about Beals? Oh, Beelzebub. We don't get the goodbye.
Yeah,
to Beals.
That's. I was thinking that, but it's not happening.
No,
most
that's right after.
Most moments in Beelzebub this year is when the age of Furuichi, quote unquote, ends.
Yeah. My heart wrenched, knowing that the time had passed.
Or I guess Takamiya's backstory.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up.
What about Rebecca's backstory?
Yeah, that was kind of messed up too.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I
think
like
One Piece is kind of pulling this one.
Yeah. Like, my inclination is to go with the Mocha thing.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I legitimately thought, oh god, the Snow Girl died.
Yeah, there's a lot of Chopper very nervously trying to keep her going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that she died because, A, it's One Piece, she's a kid.
Mocha is dead, not Tumblr.com.
Brooke is dead, Tumblr.com.
That's, a few of these series have heart-wrenching moments right after the cutoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they probably go for that for, you know, the winter break stuff.
Yeah. Have a big moment coming back from it.
Yeah. And should we just limit it to One Piece then? Like, is there anyone else fighting for it?
Like, I'd say with One Piece. Huh?
I think the Nisekoi thing.
Okay. So let's get this down to, three.
Okay.
Chitoge and her mom. And
yeah.
I'd let other things from Nisekoi lay for that one.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else that would apply.
Yeah.
Then there's Mocha eating the poison. And Rebecca?
Do we want to? Is that just like Rebecca in general?
Rebecca's
backstory.
I would say Obito's more than.
Okay, then let's. Okay, should we have that replace Rebecca's or?
Let's just have four.
Yeah. Okay.
Our official nominees.
And the question is, how do we break this down from here?
Just fight over it.
Who's willing to let what go is the question.
I don't know. I don't feel
I would let
that
Mocha go because she didn't actually, nothing happened. Like, Chopper saved her. And not particularly, like, dramatically. He just saved her.
It was just, oh, she's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that we're tying together all of the, like, Rebecca / Violet / King Riku and all that sort of stuff.
I mean, I think Rebecca alone is fine. Like, just that one chapter of her backstory and soul saving her. Yeah.
The soldier raising her.
Because the soldier raising her was, like, sweet and also pretty funny. Like, Oda handled that pretty well.
The Obito stuff is okay, but I'm not sure how actually heart-wrenching it is, because, I mean,
Well, which of the stuff are we talking about? The silent chapter, or are we talking about the time he sees Rin die?
I was thinking, like, his general backstory, too. Well, I would think the silent chapter, was that all that heart-wrenching?
I mean, it shows that he was basically Naruto that never got saved, but then on the other hand, so was every other villain in Naruto.
That's
right, and there was that thing about he thought he had a date with Rin, and it was just planning Kakashi's party, you know?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Well, it was, you know, sad too.
Yeah, but I mean, everything we've seen since then has shown that like Rin actually didn't like him. He was just an idiot.
Yeah, I'd be willing to let that one go.
So then we're down to Rebecca and Chitoge.
Yeah,
and I really don't think that the Chitoge. I realize that a lot of that has to do with the nature of the tone of the series. So, you know, I guess relative to the rest of the series, the one might have more weight, but it doesn't really feel like there's any real comparison.
I'm okay with it taking second. I just wanted to get it to do
something. I don't know. I think Chitoge's one, there's more character growth in that than there is for Rebecca.
Yeah. I mean, Rebecca's just, it's almost like just another sad One Piece backstory.
Yeah. Like Chitoge's one explains why she has that, like, kind of crazy fear of abandonment. And why she wears that ribbon all the time, and why...
I also genuinely felt bad for her mom. You know, feeling like she couldn't deal with her daughter.
It does seem... I don't know. I think in terms of what those chapters do for their characters, the Chitoge one is way more important than the Rebecca one. Because, let's be honest, we're never going to see Rebecca again for this arc.
Until, like, the final arc when everybody in the entire series comes back.
And joins Luffy's crew and they all become, like, one big robot.
Yeah.
I think I'd be willing to go for the Chitoge one.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that, too. That is my nomination.
All right, I'm getting overruled, so I'm okay with it. Let's go with it.
All right. I have to actually look up what these chapters are at some point. I'm trying to check Toge's mother.
Oh, I had it up a minute ago. It's somewhere around 62. It's a couple chapters before that, so let's say 60.
62. All right. So next one. Best shocked-faced panel. And unfortunately, One Piece is best example of this is not in the running.
Also, unfortunately, yes. Nisekoi's best example of this is not in the running.
So the suggestion, the nominations this person gave were One Piece, or they gave one nomination. One Piece, Robin, Usopp, and Franky finding out they caused the war. Is that within the limits?
Yes, it is.
Okay. It should be the last one in the limits, I think.
No, it's towards the end of the year, but that's well within the limits, if I'm not mistaken.
That was recent. That was like a couple of weeks ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because the chapter that we end on, if I'm not mistaken, is the one where Law gets shot. And it should be before that. Yeah, that is the final chapter for us, is when Law gets shot.
Okay.
I'm seeing if I can find a compendium of One Piece shock faces.
Oh, there was something that I had seen, which was that they took like a Christian Holy Trinity picture and then had different shocked faces on each one of them. It was kind of great. But anyway.
You know, Caesar has a lot of them too.
Yeah. And Bartolomeo also had a lot of good ones. Especially his Luffy Senpai ones.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, that one chapter was just so amazing with Onodera's mom in Nisekoi, but there are tons of fantastic faces, and I'm sure that there's some other great ones we can't remember. And I'm also trying to remember, isn't there one really fantastic Koro-sensei shocked face?
Yeah, this is a hard one to pull out, like,
because it's like one image, you know?
I think, do we want to expand this to like all faces, not necessarily shocked face?
I'm not sure.
Like best reaction.
Can't pull those that much easier.
Sure, I'd be. Because
if we expand it to that broad, then I actually have a choice, a nomination. Remember when Koro-sensei was helping all the students, and they're like, "Man, Koro-sensei is so helpful. We're so glad to be in Class E." And he was like, "You guys shouldn't, because you're trying to kill me. And if you don't kill me, I'm going to kill all of you." And then it shows that when he gets too serious, he just facepalms.
Yeah.
And so there's like amazing piece of comedic timing where he's like going out the door dramatically, and before he leaves, he facepalms.
Yes. Yeah. They did that a couple of times, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a running gag for a little bit. And of course, then if we're going reaction stuff, then there's all of the embarrassed stuff when they're, you know, talking about finding the porn that he likes and that sort of stuff.
And Nisekoi, I mean, they run wild with this sort of thing.
Saying like what's the best reaction in Nisekoi is like what's the best plot hole in Bleach. Like there's just too much to go through.
I don't know. I think best reaction face is the best we're gonna do with this nomination or this category.
Yeah, I think that just in terms of reaction faces, that we can probably rule out a couple series just because I guess they don't.
Yeah, Naruto doesn't do it very well.
Naruto. Beelzebub has like one or two, but they're not standout.
They're all like straight men for witchy stuff.
Yeah.
Like maybe the best one in Beelzebub is when Nene was emerging from the shower and she had that look of like fuck you on her face. Too Furuichi.
Or like maybe one of the reaction things when Furuichi blocks a punch when he has the tissues in his nose. Then of course Bleach doesn't really have any either.
Yeah. Like, if we do this, it would pretty much just be One Piece and Nisekoi.
Yeah.
Again.
Nisekoi getting its dues while it can.
It's just getting those minor cinematography things, you know.
I'm clicking through random chapters, seeing if I can find something in Nisekoi that I remember. But it's just like every chapter has like one or two good, really funny faces. Yeah.
That being said, I will readily admit that the reaction to finding out they started the war is what I would have jumped to for One Piece, since we can't use
it
the
was,
Luffy panel.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even Robin has a shocked face there, right?
Yes.
Like, so not as much, but...
And I mean, hers is like the mouth is just incredibly square. It's very amusing.
Yeah, and what Usopp and Franky have double anal face going on.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a law anal face at one point.
No, I think that the Caesar Crown had one, but that's it, I think. Of course, Law might have had an amusing reaction when he found out what Luffy seems to think alliance means.
Yeah, I feel like Law had some reactions regarding Luffy. I'm in the face fault page on TV tropes.
There you go. I just found the holy trinity of NL faces. And it has the three from Usopp, Robin, and Franky on there from that thing.
And then Jinbei and what's her name?
Violet had a good one to finding out, or to reading Sanji's mind.
And it was just nothing but perverted thoughts?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm still sticking with that Kuro-sensei one. I'm sticking with it, and I like the nomination, but I think to choose one, the One Piece one with Franky, Usopp, and Robin was good.
It was fantastic in the moment with that. You know?
Especially because you rarely see Robin make a reaction face.
And she's like, oh god, did we do that?
I'm just looking up Caesar Crown faces now.
As you do.
They're all pretty great. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
With the One Piece one?
Yeah.
I think we should go with it.
I will note that there probably is an amazing Nisekoi one that we're going to remember after we finish the
report. Yeah.
The thing with Nisekoi is it's kind of like... I don't know how to describe it. When you have the one thing that stands out from everything else, it is much more attention-grabbing than a whole bunch of fantastic things altogether. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's just too much there to go through.
Yeah.
So we'll say One Piece, Usopp, Robin, Franky?
Discover the truth.
Yeah. Alright. We're blazing through these.
We have a lot, though, so.
All right. Best plot twist.
Now, are we saying best plot twist or best plot twist?
It's hard for me to tell, and let's read off these nominees and see what the person giving us the category intended. And it's hard for me to tell with that, too.
Yeah.
Bleach, Juha Bak with Zangetsu.
Now, that's a best one.
I mean, some people legitimately love that plot twist. One Piece, Bellamy's Return.
Mm. That's more of a plot element.
That's in Classroom Kuro-sensei's ultimate defense when he died. That's more like a gambit than plot twist.
It was still very unexpected how that was
handled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and we never thought that he would die. I don't think anyone thought Assassination Classroom would kill off Kuro-sensei there.
I mean, it is a twist when you figure, like, I mean, that whole thing of, oh, now Kuro-sensei is indisposed for 24 hours. Oh, God, someone's targeting the students and trying to kill them and... Like that.
I mean, that is a twist in the story. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, best plot twist.
How about what's her name being the first Kenpachi?
Unohana.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did we know Ichigo's mom was a Quincy?
No.
I think we figured it out once he did the boot van.
But before we toss things out there, are we treating this as best or air quotes best?
I'm gonna go with best.
Okay.
Like, legitimately best.
Yeah, because actually skimming down, you do have worst plot twist in there, too. So.
Yeah. Which maybe I should move up to this one.
So we can discuss them both back-to-back.
Yeah.
Or it's in a one natural location for it.
All right, so worst plot twist is after this category now.
Okay, best plot twist. Putting demon tissues in his nose causes Furuichi to get demon powers.
But that's not a twist. That's the conceit of the arc.
Yeah, fair point. That is the plot. It's not a twist.
Yeah.
Was Beale's mother not actually working for the Solomon Company within our range?
They get to LA.
Yeah, it's the first chapter they get to LA is where it ends.
So that that part of the twist isn't there.
What about plot twist?
And sorry, just going to clarify, not the first chapter they get to California, the first chapter they legitimately get to LA.
The Michael Bay one.
Yes.
God, I lost my train of thought. What about plot twist, Nasu has demon powers, oh shit, you know, other people have demon contracts.
That is, yeah, no, that wasn't, because that was a twist.
Yeah, it was just, like, remember that whole chapter of, like, huh, weird, all his people are everywhere else, but then they're also here with him all of a sudden.
What about Himekawa's final not betrayal?
His double betrayal?
Yeah, where he destroys the machine.
Yes, his quadruple betrayal.
Or his first betrayal was pretty interesting.
Where he was part of the group, but then Oka comes in and demands him back, but then he claims he's not part of the group.
Okay.
Yeah, right to Oka's face, and then Oka walks out.
Yeah.
Most telegraphed plot twist, Doflamingo does not stick to the deal.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, what about best plot twist regarding the toys of Dressrosa, like being people?
I think we called that pretty early, though, didn't we?
Yeah, and also Soldier being Rebecca's dad.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if that falls into our range.
Okay, in the course of this year, Naruto have anything that actually constitutes a plot twist?
The Masked Man turned out to be Obito.
No,
I would say
the
Ito Tensei Hokages.
We already knew that it was Obito at this point?
Yep.
We definitely knew, because, I mean...
No, he had the Sharingan. His mask is off in Chapter 611.
Oh, okay. So I guess that silent chapter is also...
But yeah, like the Ito Tensei Hokages might count as best plot twist.
But just throwing it out there, the completely silent Obito chapter that you were doing for Heart-Wrenching would be before our cutoff.
Was it?
Yeah. That'd be $5.99.
Oh, whoops.
It didn't win, so.
Yeah. But again, like, Ito Tensei Hokages?
Ito Tensei Hokages.
I thought that was before. Oh, yeah, no, that's right.
That's been relatively recent.
Yes, the entire Ninjas Do Things flashback is...
Maybe that's the best plot twist, Ninjas Do Things.
Best lesson we can use in our everyday life.
Okay.
Okay, Juha Bakuming Zangetsu. Do we have that for best or best?
That was listed for best first, but okay, it could just easily apply to best.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that we should probably talk about that one for the next category. Sorry, whoever sent this in. I don't think that was a good
plot twist. We think it's ridiculous. We think it is Lloyd Royd levels of ridiculous.
Best plot twist. The new student in Assassination Classroom is actually a robot.
It's sad because One Piece has, like, legitimate claim to this, just not within the range of issues.
I genuinely think that that's going to come up next year. Like, that's going to stick.
Big Mom or Sabo would have been at the top of this list.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, both of them would be.
But, I mean, it's also hard to say that because those just happened, so it's hard for us to get enough distance from it to say...
But that was still just out of nowhere.
Does World Trigger have any good plot twists, or it's too establishing so far?
Yeah,
I mean, we knew Yuma was a neighbor before.
I don't know.
I mean, the closest thing would be what's his face giving up his Black Trigger, but
we don't know enough. We don't know the characters well enough to say what's a betrayal of character.
You know what? I really like Unohana's was the original Kenpachi for best plot twist because. That was really cool at the time.
Yeah, it was out of nowhere, and it made sense, and it was well done.
It led to good chapters.
It used characters that were not used enough and didn't focus on characters that were used too much.
Yeah. And it got you more Kenpachi.
Yeah. But it got you less Unohana.
Yeah, that's fine.
But she would have been written out somehow. But the Unohana we got before she went out was awesome.
Yeah, because she died, right? That killed her.
We never saw the end of that fight, and we haven't seen either one of them since then.
You know, apropos of nothing, I'm going to add a best Deus Ex Machina somewhere in here.
Okay.
Because parts of this just came back to me. Okay. All right. I'm fine with Unohana being the original Kenpachi.
I'm going to throw my weight behind that, yeah.
I'm pretty excited about Bleach winning both of the best.
Congratulations, yeah. Bleach, you won a positive award.
That's the question of worst plot twist.
Bleach? Let's start there.
Okay, so Lloyd Roy's not eligible. That was last year's worst plot twist, wasn't it?
Last year.
Yeah.
I don't know that necessarily... Okay, so was there a Nisekoi plot twist?
Nah.
Within that whole Raku amnesia thing?
Just that the girl didn't have blue eyes. Oh, wait, eye color changes.
That has a legitimate claim on this, I think.
Okay, so...
We should nominate the changing eye color.
I'm just trying to think, because most of... because it's so serialized, it's so small one-chapter arcs, I don't think that there's enough overlying plot for most of Nisekoi's stuff to claim plot twist.
But that simply did have something to do with the overlying plot.
Yeah, and it was a twist.
Yeah.
Okay, then here we go. Nomination for best plot twist. Jump back to that. Nisekoi, Fu is actually the childhood friend.
That's not a plot. That's speculation. That's totally going to happen.
It hasn't happened. I mean, it will, but...
Yeah. So, is there anything in Assassination Classroom we can nominate for worst? Because everything that's happened has been pretty in line with the series quality.
Yeah, I guess there was... was the chapter where the students got kidnapped by the random street punks in this year or not?
Could have been. That feels like it was a real long time ago.
It feels like it was a real long time ago, but we also have, you know, we're starting at chapter 20, so...
Was Ritsu in that? Let's see, I would have guessed that's the traveling episode.
Oh yeah, that's probably pre-Ritsu, isn't it?
Yeah, chapter 15, they're talking about going on the school trip.
Okay,
so.
So that's before that.
So that would be guidebook time, which was 17.
Yeah.
So, I don't... Assassination Classroom might not actually have a worse plot twist.
I mean, like, what kind of plot twist did we even have? We had the kid being, like, Koro-sensei, having Koro-sensei hair.
Terasaka betraying them?
Yeah, that was...
Trying to think of some of the stuff, like whether there was any terrible stuff with the son of the superintendent, but yeah, nothing comes to mind that is a terrible plot twist at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're gonna get a bunch of emails about you forgot about these things.
I'm sure
there's a bunch of things that Assassination Classroom has done, but nothing that I felt like if we went back and looked at it, we'd be like, yeah, this kind of took the manga in a bad direction.
Trying to think if there's any bad plot twists in One Piece. Like, those fights in the arena were not great, but I don't know how I can turn that into bad plot twists.
Yeah, no, they were weak chapters, but that doesn't make them bad plot twists.
Yeah.
Any bad plot twists in Beelzebub? That what's her name was a girl?
Who was a girl? Oh, Yama, whatever her name was.
Yeah, that we called. Yeah.
The girly looking guy was a girl.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't really think of any.
I think this just goes to Juhabak is Zangetsu, because that was all just...
We haven't looked at Naruto.
Yeah, we have not talked about ninjas doing things.
Yeah.
That's a bad story. That's not a bad plot twist.
But I'm saying that there's a whole bunch of stuff associated with that that we can pull out. Actually, that could have been something that we could have... Just the Hokages in general could have been talked about as a good plot twist.
Well, I mentioned that several times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What about Madara reading the tablet and going crazy?
I think that's No, wait, that was totally on that.
That was in the Ninjas Do Things. Because, I mean, that wasn't explained until, like, two or three chapters ago. And then it was even like, well, it's up to interpretation, but I chose to go crazy.
Bad plot twist. Sasuke wants to become Hokage.
Yeah.
Kiba wants to become Hokage.
Deji wants to... Oops. That wasn't great, like, everyone suddenly...
Yeah, I don't. I desperately don't want it to just be Bleach so simply.
Yeah, but it totally is.
It just is overshadowing everything in my head. I mean, the poor justification, yeah. The retconning.
We're just trying to come up with a good runner-up.
The fact that nobody noticed ever.
The plot holes that just, like, arose from that.
Yeah. Gotta go with it.
Okay.
It can't not be it, and it's just making it really hard to pick anything else.
I mean, if we had to do a runner-up, I would say Madara going crazy at the tablet.
Sure.
But for actual winner, it's Sungetsu Isshuha Bok for worst plot twist.
No, for best plot twist.
Quote unquote best.
Yeah, there's best.
I actually put the words air quotes.
Isn't this a Big Nose Kabuto presents the best plot twist?
Yeah.
How did Big Nose Kabuto not win last year?
Because
Lloyd Royd.
Royd. Like, we love Big Nose Kabuto. We hated Lloyd Royd.
Okay, next chapter is Best Decision Law Made, which is a corollary to last year's Worst Decision Law Made, which I don't remember what we chose, but I'm sure there was a pretty easy one there.
This isn't Big Nose Kabuto Presents Best Decision Law Made. Best Decision.
The nomination is Saving Sanji and the Straw Hats and Fighting Two Incredibly Strong Guys Alone.
Yeah,
I like, given the circumstances, that was a good decision, but not going into that circumstance in the first place probably would have been a better one.
I don't know about him assuming that Doflamingo was going to play nice and going by himself with Caesar.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb.
That was stupid.
But is this actual, like, worst decision or is this actual best decision?
I don't know. It's just decision law made that we want to give an award to.
I guess every single thing along the way. That's right. Last year we did have the teaming up with Luffy in the first place. So
yeah,
I mean, they actually made it an official team up this time within this year. Man, Dress Rosa is moving kind of fast.
Yeah,
in retrospect,
it's been packed. You know, noticing that there's only about 40 chapters of One Piece that we're talking about, and we've gone from mid Thriller Bark to where we are in Dress Rosa.
Those tournament chapters felt like they were dragging, but
there was a lot of
blistering face.
Okay,
but when we had it, it was going fast.
I have an actual legitimate nomination for best decision.
Okay,
exchanging or convincing Caesar Crown that his heart was Harvey Monet's.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, and actually, all of the heart shenanigans. Because wasn't there another one where they thought that they had his heart when Doflamingo got him, and it was somebody else's?
Best decision law made, never actually taking his heart out.
I don't know why everyone expected he would.
Like, people keep, it's like, yep, this is mine. Can I see? No. Just take
You'll kill me if you test it out, or, you know.
I think the Harvey Monet one makes the most sense, because if he didn't do that, then she would have blown up the island.
Yeah. Yeah, so best decision. He saved everyone's life by being a dick.
Yeah. By exchanging or taking out Harvey Monet's heart, and apparently she just didn't notice.
Okay, so we're just talking about One Piece here. Are there any good decisions law made in other manga?
There was that time he was Zangetsu.
Oh, I just also realized something when I'm looking at this. You remember how we were talking about the whole Mocha thing as being one of the most sad ones? That's the chapter before we can talk about.
Oh, oh really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So hooray, Niseko wins by default. But you use this word in English language.
So we're being quite judicial here.
Oh yes, very much.
This is well planned out and professional. Okay, so best decision law made.
Okay, well, I mean, we could toss out best decision law made, because it actually was a good decision at the time for what he was attempting to do, was the, you know, blackmailing Doflamingo into resigning.
Trusting Doflamingo would do what he says.
When you look at end results, not taking out his own heart and switching it with Harpy Monet's was the best decision he made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That worked out well for everybody.
Except for Harpy Monet.
Yeah.
Did not work that well for her.
We'll see her again. In flashbacks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Harpy Monet one.
Okay.
All right. Now for a possibly tough one.
Yeah.
Coolest Bleach panel/chapter. And if, again, this is one of the ones where the last couple of weeks would have an immediate winner.
Yeah.
See, I'm not finding this one hard. I am jumping straight to the Kenpachi fight.
True.
Like, in general, or is there a specific...
Well, I guess I would have to look to see, because that was, what, two chapters? So,
go pick
maybe
something.
It's splitting the awesome.
If we're going to talk about actual chapters, the one where Unohana first discovers Zaraki, and, like, he's standing on top of a pile of corpses with a makeshift sword.
I mean, it's or chapter, you know, we could say that whole chapter is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? All right, do we fight for anything else on this one? Like, the Whitey Whackers,
I'm sorry, is this ironic again?
I don't know. It was kind of cool the way she got stabbed and then shot him in the head.
I'm just trying to think of any... I'm quickly going back and seeing if there's any cool panels that jump out at me, so you guys can go ahead and discuss things while I'm...
What about Ichigo when he first came back to Soul Society and just immediately found his sword?
What do you mean?
Like, he did, like... The first
like
time he was...
after...
Yeah. He was fighting 100 guys before, and then the second time he comes in, he just goes, him. He's the one.
Hmm. That's right. Yeah, that was cool.
That was very neat moment.
He just walks over and, like, puts his hand on him, and...
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the best panel is when Ruki is floating face down in the pool.
Oh, shit. I just remembered something for worst plot twist. Uryu is evil for some reason.
Oh, that's a... I don't know that it's worse than Zangetsu is Juha Bak, though.
I just wanted to bring it up.
Wait, Ichigo's mom would be cool. Oh, God, how do we not... We are being... neglecting our duties. Worst plot twist, magic holification button.
Oh.
God damn it.
Oh, actually, that was the reason I added best Deus Ex Machina.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, it'll get its due.
All right, so cool.
So do we just want to give that one to it now? Because seriously,
no,
we need to
argue that out because there could be other ones.
Okay.
And also, we need to define best for that one.
what's our last chapter for Bleach? Let me check.
It is
558. I just want to see how much of the Kumamura fight we have because
it's the end. We finished the Kumamura fight.
So do we have, so we have his Bankai in there. That was pretty awesome.
Yes,
looking.
We do. Yes.
Let me see if I can get to that page for you guys.
What about Hollow Hitsugaya?
It was a neat design, but...
Yeah, but it was... It I mean, it wasn't really even that much different from his normal one.
Okay, so if we take an ironic look at this, what about, did that count, him missing the eye patch? Shinsuke?
I think that that's outside.
Yeah, it's after. Here we go. Here's the page.
That'll be able to be best plot twist for next year when we find out that it's actually Aizen.
Yeah, his Bankai was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, that is a very, very fine panel. Now I need to find the Kenpachi on the pile of corpses for comparison.
Yeah, it's the chapter after that has eye patchless patchy. I still love how much focus is just put on the eye that's supposed to have an eye patch.
Have they gone back to that since then?
No.
Yeah, they haven't gone back to show him at all, but man, really, any of the panels with Unohana when she's Kenpachi is kind of great, too.
click a random Bleach chapter, and it happened to be one of the ones where he's Zangetsu and Juha Bak.
Chapters like 524, 525, 526 is the Kenpachi fight, if you wanted to look through that.
I'm fine with Pile of Corpses, Kenpachi. Being awesome, but that is the same thing we gave an award to for the best plot twist, pretty much.
True, but I mean,
true.
I
yeah,
best
they
plot
do flow
twist.
Into
and actually,
each other really
the,
well.
It, if we're doing panel, it's not the individual panel is not that great because there is a zoomed out one where you see a pile of corpses, and then the one with him is not terribly impressive. Here it
well,
is.
Well, it is or chapter, I believe.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's the best fight in Bleach in a while, too. That we
I
can
agree.
Count.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll say 525, coolest chapter, because it's very cool.
Yeah, we'll do that one best chapter and the Bankai, the best panel.
Yeah. Sure, we'll split it up that way.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Yeah, everybody gets a trophy.
It's like the VGXs, we just make up categories to give away awards.
Oh, we're just kind of making this up as we go anyway, so,
yeah.
You know.
Need Joel McHale.
Alright. This chapter I don't really understand, but maybe we need to expand
well,
the actual category.
Do we
want to
do
first.
The Deus Ex Machina while we're kind of on that, or...
Okay, let's move that up then.
Yeah.
Alright, so best Deus Ex Machina of anything, not just Bleach.
Okay, so let's go through the Bleach stuff first.
There's Zangetsu Juhabak, Hollow Button.
Free tickets to Soul Society Land, courtesy of...
That was just funny. I don't know if there's a Deus Ex Machina.
It was pretty funny.
Losing the Bankais that we stole makes us stronger.
Juhabak just taking the life of every Quincy except two of them. And one of them doesn't count. And they had to make that work with Grand Fisher killing Ichigo's mom as well. So it's like, oh yeah, she just lost her powers at the wrong time.
What about the disabling Oga's powers Deus Ex thing?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Magic machine that...
Alright, so is this best or worst? That's
both.
What we need to get. Okay.
Either. Yes.
Yes. Let's go with yes.
Anything can win.
Yeah. So, I don't think Niskoi really has any Deus Ex Machinas.
No.
The Amnesia?
The keys and the... Yeah, Amnesia, the keys, the
locket. Yeah. Well, the keys locket doesn't count for this year, though.
No. Doesn't.
Naruto, the Ito Tensei Hokages.
Oh god, the Amnesia was pretty bad. That
yes,
really
it
made
was.
Me want to... You guys can attest to, like, before every podcast during that arc, I was just like, let's just drop Nisekoi. Huh? Let's stop reading it.
What about Karen happens to be there to fix all the Hokages? Because she was just there.
How about in Bleach, enemies randomly leaving battles so that they couldn't finish people off?
I feel like we have enough Bleach ones.
and also that one guy, Kangdu, being alive for no reason.
I don't think it's a Deus Ex. Well, yeah, I don't think it's a Deus Ex Machina.
I mean,
it just happened off screen.
Magic wind pills are definitely a Deus Ex Machina.
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to think of anything else on that level.
Well, let's look through One Piece and think. Do you think Violet being a princess was explained well enough or revealed well enough?
I think so. I think it's retreading ground that's already been done with the whole with Nami for, you know, forcing the girl with a specific ability to join the pirate crew so to save the lives of the people she loves. But
we knew there was more to Violet than met the eye. There was enough hints that there was more going on there.
Kora Sensei's final form.
Yeah. Like, for what it allowed, it was pretty good, but at the same time, I thought it was kind of a cop-out. Like, here's this one thing that I didn't tell you guys about.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, was there a Deus Ex Machina with, like, the test? That whole arc? Or...
No, not really.
Yeah.
I guess just the fact that they were focusing on not the composite scores, but the individual, the fact that they got perfect scores on that home ec or whatever it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That.
So they got to cut off more tentacles.
That was definitely just out of nowhere, but.
Yeah. But it was more a joke. I mean, like, it played off well. It mattered for the arc, but
you know,
it was not.
This is another case of just nothing can stand there with,
Yeah, no. Magic qualification button is by far the most Deus Ex-y.
sup guys, I'm here with these buttons that fix every problem, and I'm going to teleport them to you, into your hands.
It makes sense in a Bleach kind of way.
It's just such... That is just like textbook. Just like bad... You wrote yourself into a corner, and magic buttons fall out of the sky that you touch and win.
Yeah, no, it's not... Just no. There's nothing else.
I don't know. To me, it's either that or Amnesia.
But that didn't really lead to anything. That was just kind of wasting time on a dumb arc.
Yeah, and like we said at the time, like, it was a stupid premise, but once the premise was established, they actually made some good... Like, the chapters themselves were not that bad.
I would like to reiterate, Amnesia doesn't work like that.
Yes. Yeah.
But, all right, so... Yeah. We're going to go with hollow buttons.
Yes, so that David. Random thing that we just invented a category so that we could give it something won that category.
I mean, it is basically the strictest definition of Deus Ex Machina here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just call it the Deus Ex Machina of the year.
All right.
Deus Ex presents the Deus Ex Machina of the Year award.
We didn't ask for this. So let's do this one, and we'll take a break, because I'm not sure... we might need to expand this category a little bit. But Dumbest Page in Naruto, Bleach, or One Piece?
Yeah, this is going to be... Is this the counterpoint?
Should we just expand it to everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, if we shouldn't just label it for those three. So Dumbest Page.
That's going to be...
It's so broad.
I'm sure there's something in the Ninjas Do Things that would apply here.
That's just like a dumb page.
Just the entire thing about being on the opposite ends of the river from one another. Actually, no. For Naruto, I think Dumbest Page, we're going to have to go with the when he comes to the end of the story, and the end of the story is that ninjas do things.
I think it might just be Madara looking at the tablet, because that all happened in one page. He's like, hey, Hashirama, look at this tablet. Okay, I'm gone. Because Bleach, God bless it, nothing... Okay, no, Toshiro.
Toshiro?
The Hitsugaya no jutsu.
Oh, his not running away, but just standing in the mist.
Yeah, I don't want to give all of these to Bleach, but that, I mean... What else works?
It's our punching bag. I'm just trying to think.
Although, let's be fair, Bleach would win for Dumbest Page with the eye patch thing if that was eligible.
One Piece can win for Dumbest Page for any number of the Caribou covers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We gotta hold that against it somehow, don't we?
We can't let that slide. We've let it gone this long.
Yeah, well, I was going to, what's it called, for the most heartbreaking moment, I was going to break up when he lost the meat pie or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, how many dumb Caribou covers do we have to go through? Like 50?
Yeah, 48, I think it is, so.
Is it? It's 48? I assume it was much longer.
Well, for this year.
Yeah, there's four before that, so I think it's 52 total.
Is there any, like... I feel like there should be a page that just has the cover panels.
Okay, what about the time Kurosawa discovered Takaoka had two pictures, one with his men and one with all his men tortured?
Yeah, just on him.
Yeah, like they were just on the on the same table. I feel like that might go on there.
Yeah.
Because I like Sashay the Classroom, but they take a shortcut to Kurosawa discovering Takaoka as kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
It's basically the Assassination Classroom equivalent of when in Phoenix Wright, the murderers bring the murder weapons with them to court.
Yeah. I didn't have anywhere else to put it, so.
I didn't have a single garbage can.
Kept it in my pocket.
So, yeah.
I kind of just want to say Caribou, period, but...
That's not the dumbest page.
Yeah.
It'll also get its dues later.
It would make up a Tankobon on its own.
There are short series that have had less pages than the Caribou story arc.
Yeah, that is a really dumb page in Assassination Classroom.
I kind of feel like
we should just give it to that one.
I feel like Assassination Classroom, like, we should stop picking on Bleach. Basically.
Well, also Assassination Classroom, like, it has the highest standards because we chose this manga of the year last year.
That was so lazy and...
Yeah, that was it was a huge shortcut that didn't make any sense.
Basically, like,
yeah, let's go with it.
You know what it is? It's like when in The Simpsons when Lisa found the notebook that the monorail guy had. Like, just the drawings of him taking everybody's money and running.
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of shorthand getting across to the audience what's going on.
All right, that's As Class 39. Okay. Let's take a break.
All right.
And if you're listening to this, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, this is the... Yeah, it looks like we're about maybe halfway down.
Yeah, we're about halfway through.
Yeah.
So the next...
We don't have... I guess when we're saying best chapter of the year, well, that'll be broken down into everything, but yeah.
Yeah. But we're going to take a little break, but for you, it's going to seem like a week.
Yeah.
Time is shifting.
It's going to only feel like break for us.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Hell, the loser's in the